just wanted to put this, the CAP Centre and what we're seeking to do as a church into the context of our preaching over the last few weeks. If we could put the PowerPoint up, that'd be great. So if you've got a Bible, we're in John's Gospel. We're in chapter 15. It's the fourth book into the New Testament. And we've been in these chapter, we've been in these verses for a number of weeks now. And this is the sort of the last week of us being in these verses in terms of this theme of abide. As we move into November, there'll be a number of other things that we'll be doing in November. And then as we move towards the end of November, we'll go into our Advent series as well. So I hope that you've really appreciated an opportunity to just be thinking about this concept of abiding. I want to just focus in on this verse. It's not from the actual 11 verses that we've been really focusing on, but it's in the context of John 15, the context of the final night of Jesus' life, and these words Jesus speaks to his disciples. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit. I just wanted to pick on a few words out of that connect into the whole concept of abiding and what Jesus has been talking here. And the first thing I wanted to focus in on is on the word chosen. I don't know how aware you are as an individual, how much it actually impacts your relationship, the way that you think about your life, to have that awareness that you have been chosen. That you have been chosen by God. That he's taken the initiative. He's the one who took the first step in this whole story of salvation. And this morning, we focused in on a number of key things. I think it's really important for Jen to know that she's been chosen for this task. There's a specific thing that God has called her to do. But that goes for every one of us. It's not just for those of us who are involved in overtly Christian ministry. It's not just for those who are, to use that phrase, full-time or part-time or working for church. Every one of us has been chosen by God. And you'll remember a few years ago, we did a whole teaching on the Father heart of God, the Father's love for us. And this is a great verse, comes out of Ephesians. But there's a number of other verses that talk about this. There's Galatians 4, says this, God sent Jesus to buy freedom for us because we were slaves to the law. And he did this so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. So now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are a child, God has made you his heir. Romans 8, again, talks about you've received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirits to affirm that we are God's children. I don't know whether you've ever had that experience. The experience where God affirms with your spirit that you are God's child. I don't know, have you experienced that? Have you experienced it in here? Where God affirms to you, not up here, not just in terms of intellectual knowledge, that we read the scriptures, but actually somewhere down here in the gut of your life, there's an affirmation that goes on that says to you, you're my child. That's what the Spirit of God is at work in our lives doing. Because of what Jesus has done, because something has shifted, something has changed in terms of our standing before God. So before we were a Christian, we were lost, we were without God, we were without hope, we were not a people. But once we made that decision to accept and to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, everything shifts, everything changes. And so our standing has changed. And what God's Spirit does is that he affirms it in here. It's so tied up, isn't it, with our relationship, our covenantal relationship with God. So out of our relationship with the Father, we get our identity. This is what it means to be chosen. This is why Jesus says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. He took the initiative. He took the first step. And I don't know whether that impacts you at all in terms of your own life story. I really hope it does. I really hope that within the context of this question of who am I? Do I have significance? Does my life have meaning? What Christianity is saying to us is this, and I want to read, you probably can't read it that clearly on the screen, I don't know, but let me read it to you. It says this, if God is so committed to loving me and being with me that he is willing to bear all of his wrath on his true son in order to adopt me and have me to conform to his image, then I have a meaningful identity. I am a child of the King. I have purpose. To reflect my Father, I value. I have been purchased with the blood of Jesus, and I am loved. I thank God that I can never undo that. No matter how much I mess up, no matter how much I fail, no matter how much other people value me or don't, I know who I am in Christ. I am a child of God. I would really encourage you to read that to yourself. I think I've said this before. I talk to myself a lot. I speak out loud to myself a lot. I do it in all sorts of places. Driving the car is probably the main place I do it. I will talk to myself, I will sing to myself, I will speak to myself. I will remind myself of who I am. Because if I don't remind myself of who I am, I can't really rely upon other people to always do that. Yes, I've got people around me, thank God, who love me, who value me, who affirm me, who want the best for me. But actually, my identity is not caught up primarily in that. It's caught up primarily in who God thinks I am. It's so important that we recognize that as Christians, because that's what we're seeking to do. You know, what's so powerful about the stories that we hear and the ones that we saw just is how that people's lives have been changed. Not just got out of debt, But the fact that now they know that they've got purpose in life. They you know, that the older chap, I think, is such a powerful story. And they're all powerful, but just for me personally, as I've watched it a few times, his story, because he's such a measured man. And got himself in such a desperate situation. And yet, through the ministry of CAP, through the center manager and the church that they're involved in, his whole life's changed. It's amazing, isn't it? That's the power, not just through CAP, but actually just through all our lives. We have that ability as we go about living our lives, knowing who we are, carrying who we are, we can begin to change atmospheres, change situations. And that's what Jesus is saying here. So, now that you are chosen, what next? That's what Jesus is saying in this verse. He said, hasn't he? He's talked about the fact that as he's chosen us, he's appointed us to go and to produce lasting fruit. And that's the whole context of John 15, verses 1 to 11. Is this sense of, well, what is the fruit? How do I accomplish it? What's the fruit for? And I hope over these last few weeks that you've got some understanding, a better understanding of what these things are as you've read the scriptures, as we've talked about it. First of all, what does the fruit look like in your life? What does the fruit look like in your life? If you've been chosen, and if we're living out our lives out of this relationship, what's the fruit that's going on in our lives? What should be coming out of our lives? Well, broadly speaking, I think it falls into two things. First of all, it falls into an area of love. That we love God, and out of loving God, we love people. And then secondly, I think it's about expressing that love and making disciples and establishing the kingdom of God wherever we go. That's what the fruit is in our lives. That's what we're looking for in terms of fruit. And how we accomplish this is out of this relationship, isn't it? In these verses, from verses 1 through to verse 11, Jesus talks about abiding. 10 times he repeats that sense of abiding in him, resting in him, deepening that relationship with him. Recognizing that without that, without him, we can do nothing. We looked at this little matrix a few weeks ago in terms of wanting to be people who live in the top right-hand box. We want to be people who are fruitful. And fruitfulness comes out of our discipleship. It comes out of being people who are living as disciples with high character, which means that we're looking to produce in our lives the characters, the characteristics of Jesus. So that to me ties into Galatians 5, which is about the fruit of the Spirit. Talks about, doesn't it, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. Those characteristics that we see in Jesus, we're wanting to see produced as fruit in our lives. But secondly, we're not just about being nicer people. We've talked about this before, and let's not just be nicer people just because we're Christians. But actually, let's be people then who actually start to do things that Jesus did. Let's grow in our competencies. Let's grow in the skills that we can develop as people. So let's grow, and this is about what it means to abide. Let's grow in our ability to read the Bible. Let's develop that ability to listen to God's voice and to hear God's voice. Let's develop that confidence to step out of the promptings of God. So if we get a prompt, the power of what Sue wanted to share this morning wasn't so much that, that's Sue, Sue does hear from God. But honestly, if you talk to me and Sue, most of the times that we sense God is speaking to us, it's a random thought. It's a thought that pops into our head in the context of us trying to hear God, trying to lead the church, trying to talk together with other leaders in the church. It's an impression that comes onto our spirits. And it's only that, and if that is going to strengthen, comfort, and encourage, then we do it. Do you hear that? If it strengthens, encourages, and comforts, 9 times out of 10, we have made a decision that we will do something with that thought. And then when we look back, we get a percentage that actually it is really God at work. Other times, the person maybe is going to weigh strength and encourage and comfort. Well, that's good. If it goes beyond strengthening, encouraging, and comfort, if what we're thinking has a directional impact on somebody's life, or it's got something to do with that's a little bit deeper about maybe a life choice or a job choice or a spouse choice, or then we will test it further. We won't generally just act on one prompt. But generally, if it's just like, and that to me is about listening to God's voice, obeying God's voice. It's not, very rarely is it God speaking audibly or on a wall. You know, in that type of thing where we're looking for God to speak to us. It's coming from within us. It's coming from scripture. It's coming from verses that pop into our heads. Nine times, now this is why you need to know the scriptures. A lot of the ways that I hear God speaking is I get a verse and a thought in my mind about a scripture, and I always have my phone on me. My phone always has the Bible on it. I can, in two clicks, find that verse and then share it. We need to be intentional. We need to be ready for those moments. If that's how I work. That's how we operate. That's how others in the church are working towards this thing about bearing fruit. The skills and competencies that Jesus, that's how Jesus did his life. Jesus did his life primarily obeying the promptings of the Holy Spirit to do certain things at a certain time in a certain way. Because he knew he was chosen. The two go together. And so we're looking to be more and more fruitful. And the end of all this is a fruitful life. I'm convinced that most of you in this room want a fruitful life. That you want to give yourself to do something that is fruitful for God, that has some significance to God. And you know what excites me when I look out, like on this occasion, and you look around and you see people, is that there is potential in this room to change a nation. There's potential in this room to change the world that you live in. That's what the CAP Center is all about, isn't it? If we didn't really believe in the potential of lives to be changed, then we wouldn't invest our money, we wouldn't invest our time, we wouldn't get involved with it. But actually, we know. And lots of us have got those seed thoughts in our minds. For some, it is CAP, but for others, it's other things. And there's so much vision in the room about stuff. It could be project related, that's great. But actually, for many of us, it's just about doing life. It's about living your life in your workplace, in your around the school gates, with your neighbors, different things that you're doing. It's in those contexts that you are doing this stuff. And you're responding to the prompts to, well, I know some people in this room that they just have a prompt to invite a neighbor, they meet at the school gate, to come back to their house for a coffee. And out of that initial prompt, that person has journeyed on with their faith and their life has begun to be impacted. And it just comes from an act of kindness. Can't really go wrong, can you, inviting somebody around to your house for a coffee? Can you? But what could that open up? What could that open up? That's what it means to be fruitful. And all of it goes to the glory of God. That's what this final verse says, doesn't it? In all these verses, it's for the glory of God. That God gets the glory. And again, that I'm sure, I know, as I look around this room, there's so many of us in this room who want God to be glorified. I had a text this week from somebody in the church. I've had a really encouraging week this week from the church. I had somebody text me, somebody phone me, and a couple of conversations about things that God is doing in people's lives in our church. Things that were going on last Sunday in our morning gathering. It's just great to encourage one another, that, isn't it? And somebody sent me a text and said, Andy, his phrase was in the text, let's go make God famous in Chester. And I think, yeah, there's so many of us in this room, isn't it, who want to make God famous, want to make God, yeah, glorify God. And together, when we get involved in this, as we recognize that, you know, as we abide, as we recognize we're chosen, and then as we move out and step out one step at a time, one life at a time, one conversation at a time, we begin to effect change. We begin to bear fruit. I had a great, one of the things that happened to me this week, which was really encouraging for me. I was with a group of leaders in our church last week. And some of you will know this. We're looking at how we grow in our character. We have a little group called iPods. Some of you may have heard of iPods. You'll be hearing a bit more about them over the next few weeks and months. And one of the things I wanted to grow in my own life I wanted to grow in gifts of the Holy Spirit. So 1 Corinthians 12 has a list of 9 gifts. And I was thinking, I personally want to grow. And then somebody said to me, which gift do you want to grow in? And I thought, you know what? I want to grow in the gift of miraculous powers. Anybody else fancy that gift? I thought, yeah, what a gift. I don't mind speaking in tongues. I'll do that as well. Words of knowledge, that's good too, but miraculous powers. And on Thursday, so I've been praying this week and reading about it, and I had a meeting on Thursday with a day of prayer and fasting for Baptist ministers from Fresh Streams. And we were hosting it in our building at the Lighthouse Centre. So only 11 people came, a little bit disappointing, but the people who came were really up for it. And one of the people who came had their arm in a sling. As soon as I saw it, I thought, ooh, arm in a sling. So over lunch, but we didn't have lunch, over coffee. we got talking, and I said to her, what have you done with your arm? Obviously, she was in quite a bit of pain. I could see it in her face. She'd had an operation 9 days ago on the elbow. It had gone a bit wrong. So all of her bicep muscle had cramped up. So she couldn't move the arm down because it was all cramped up here. And she was going to go back to the doctors the next day and find out it was 9 days later. So I said, well, can we pray for you before you go? He said, yeah, that'd be really nice. So we had a meeting went on. We just about to finish, and I said, right, we'll pray for you now. Can we? So got her to stand in the middle, and she took the sling off and put her hands out, bent in front of her, prayed for her. And the way that I prayed for her was I didn't ask God to heal her. I spoke healing over her. Have a think about that. And Jesus never prayed for healing. He always healed people. That's interesting. So did that, and praise God, her arm just dropped. And then it came back up, and then it dropped. And then she said, oh my goodness. Then she burst into tears. And she was like, I've got no pain at all in my arm. Now, I am no more special than you, okay? Please hear that. I've not been praying fasting all week for that moment. I've not really spoken much to God this week in that sense of quiet times. I've had a really busy, busy week. But in that moment, I chose to do something with this thought. And God did it. I know that it's a mystery why some things get answered. So there's a whole mystery out there. But I said that a few weeks ago. I'm not leaning on my own understandings. I'm not leaning on my own understandings. I'm leaning on the goodness of God. Okay? I'm leaning on the goodness of God and the fact that He has chosen me. He's chosen all of us. Let's stand together, shall we? We're going to worship God a little bit. Ollie and the team. Okay, well, while we're getting into this place, you'll see that some of the artwork is up there. There's the easel. There's some of the Use Me Please pods. If you feel God speaking to you in any way over the time of the worship time, we'll have a bit of time at the end. If you're brave enough to come and draw up there, you can. You might want to share something for Cap. You might have something for Jen. You might just want to hear, just write things up, draw things as well. So thanks, Ollie. Let's get into some worship.
First half of that chapter is just absolutely awash with encouragements about our identity and our purpose. Have a listen to this, starting at chapter 3 of Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. How many times did you hear to the praise of his glory and for the purpose of his will in that? Purpose and praise. Fantastic. Our God is a famous one, isn't he? I'm going to sing, and hopefully you'll sing as well, Blessed Assurance. Again, a great song that speaks of our identity and our purpose, because this is our story and this is our song to praise our Saviour all the day long. Let's sing Blessed Assurance, and then I'll teach you a new song, which I think is rather important. Let's have some.
Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior, all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. This is my story.
So Andy's been playing a video the last couple of Sundays with a fantastic song as the background to it called I Believe, This I Believe. And it's a version of the Creed. And it's a declaration of what we believe, isn't it? I believe in God the Father. I believe in God his Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection that we will rise again in Christ. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I'll teach it to you. I think it's quite easy.
Our Father everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty, through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior,
sing that again.
Our Father everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty. Jesus our Savior. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Sing again, our Father everlasting.
Our Father everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty. Through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior.
Defender,
our judge and a defender, suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Descending into darkness, you rose in glorious life. Forever seated high.
Eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection, that when Jesus comes again, for I believe in the name of Jesus.
I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe.
up our eyes, lift up our eyes, you're the giver of life. We lift up our eyes, lift up our eyes, you're the giver of life. We lift up our eyes, lift up our eyes, you're the giver of life. We lift up our eyes, lift up our eyes, you're the giver of life. We lift up our eyes, we lift up our eyes, lift up our eyes. Lift up our eyes, lift up our eyes, you're the giver of life. We lift up our eyes, lift up our eyes, you're the giver of life.
You can.